Rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome, Steve Newell.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey.
What's happening?
Well, I'm going to take you back to the 90s.
Oh, shit.
And okay, if you're too young to have been in the 90s, tough shit, because we're going there anyway.
All right. Okay, what happened in the 90s?
Well, should we sum
heaps of great music, the best music.
Should we do a montage?
Grunge?
Just like, okay, just picture visual montage.
Mm, yes.
Political events, some news happened, some music happened.
Iraq.
Some fashion.
Mm-hmm. I did not have
George Bush
won,
right?
Gen X, hating stuff, the movie Reality Bites. There you go, that's your documentary of the 90s done. Also, a band in New Zealand called King Loser, who tore a jagged, messy, enthralling path through the live music scene in the 90s, formed around the tempestuous duo of Chris Hazelwood and Celia Mancini. From 91 to 97, they were the shit, and they caused lots of shit. Made three great albums, and then, like all kind of burn too bright personality problem bands, it all just kind of blew up. Why are we talking about this now? Because a filmmaker named Andrew Moore joined the band on their reunion tour in 2016. He filmed the messy, mad chaos of their tour. And soon we'll get to see a documentary all about it, co-directed by Kushla Dillon. Both Dillon and Andrew Moore directed videos for King Loser. They're very much part of the New Zealand music ecosystem at the time they were around. But now they need a bit of help to get their film across the finish line. I've seen a rough cut of this film, like a very, very, very early version, and it is so fucking good. The behind-the-scenes stuff is mad. It really captures the late Celia Mancini's personality in a very honest and loving way. Definitely lots to laugh about in the film. I think it's very much a film that's on the side of the people who are in it, which is a really crucial thing when you're dealing with, you know, personalities that would be easy to maybe take the piss out of.
Of course.
But through all the kind of substance use and messiness of those shows, something really beautiful emerges. Anyway, they need some help. There's a give a little page set up. You can search for King Loser, the documentary fundraiser. You can watch a trailer for it and kind of get a better sense of what I'm trying to explain in the 2 or 3 minutes that they've cut together for this. Why are we giving them money? It's a very, very good question.
What was it shot on at the time in the 90s?
Oh, it'll be all sorts of shitty-ass formats will be the best way to describe it. And what's left, you know, will also be the challenge because, you know, the great kind of tape cull of years gone by, no one's really going to be sitting on beautiful Betamax very much, are they? If you go to King Loser's page on Audio Culture, there's a whole bunch of cool stuff to check out. I think they have Ian Hughes's interview with the band from Space, I think the show was, that's from.
That's was he terrified by them?
That was the vibe. And yes, they were terrifying. I filmed a video of them playing one night at the King's Arms and went to Chris Hazelwood's flat in St. Kevin's Arcade. I don't know how I tracked him down. Went to his flat to give him the tape, and it was even a conversation in the doorway was terrifying. But then flash forward many years later, I'm at Whammy Bar. I've just seen the fantastic Canadian band Effed Up play.
Ah, yes.
And then I was hanging out with Damien Abram and we just started talking about King Loser. And I was like, oh, you know, we used to live upstairs. And it was just a very great, like, small world, very small world situation. Anyway, they need some money to finish the sound mix, the grade, the music licensing, and the distro. The film's going to be screened in four main centres. There'll be live performances from special guests, and it'll be there'll be a streaming release. People worldwide can see it. So get in. I think they've raised around the kind of $4,000 mark so far. I chipped in an easy hundy. Let's get this thing looking as rad as it can, because this is a band that really needs to be championed and needs to look and sound the shit.
Is it too late for it to be included in this year's International Film Festival?
That's a good question. Probably could scrape in, maybe.
With some special perms?
Really depends how far down the line they are, I guess, with the final edit. Mm. And I guess you can do a grade. If you know what songs you want to use, and provided you can pay for them, probably doable.
Right.
Yeah, film's in quite a kind of... local docos in quite a moderate state of completion can get a bit of a helping hand from the film festival, or have done in previous years, to kind of whip them into shape for that cinema release. So probably a conversation that's happening now. But the best thing we can do is just chip in what you can if you're a King Loser fan or just want to see this sordid, weird tale come to life. Chip in a few bucks. Also, speaking of the 90s, through the lens of two current shows, I've been really enjoying Beef on Netflix. The road rage dramedy starring Steven Yeun and Ali Wong. Heaps of great stuff to recommend about the show. The cycle of revenge that the characters get pulled into is extremely watchable, although I'm struggling to binge it. I kind of find it's a little bit like, oh, need a bit of a break now type show. And also the return of Yellow Jackets for season two is continuing to deliver on that sort of pulpy, creepy charm of the first season. Both these shows have fantastic 90s soundtracks, and that's why I'm sort of throwing this into the mix alongside King Loser. The stuff in the this is a byproduct of what I was alluding to a little bit last week with the power of streaming commissioning and big budgets, because it feels like mega soundtracks are much more commonplace now than they used to be. Like shows that are full of hits, although I'm also looking at it through a geriatric point of view, because maybe these songs from the 90s actually aren't the hits I think they are. Maybe there isn't intense competition for them. But in Beef so far, we've had the worst title for any boy band song of all time. It's by the band O-Town. They were formed on the MTV reality show Making the Band and put out a song called Liquid Dreams. I challenge the listeners to respond with a worse, more offensive title for a boy band song than Liquid
Dreams. This is actually real. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, but dear God, all right, because Beef's also had a very kind of key song placement by Hoobastank. And their song The Reason is quite a kind of key song that appears.
Hoobastank.
Stephen Yeun told the LA Times that one of the themes of the show is excavating the cringe of our childhood. So that sort of explains Hoobastank. But he's he also kind of says, what do you turn on Hoobastank for? They're just trying to put out music, which I don't think makes any band above reproach, because they're all just trying to put out music. But the one that really got me was an in-show performance. An intro performance of Drive by Incubus, which is performed by Steven Yeun as he sits on a church stage after service. And he'd had a bit of a bonding experience with the show's creator, both of whom are Korean Americans, both of whom grew up in a church environment. And Yeun was asked, did you hang enough to church with a Taylor 7 series guitar and try to sing secular songs? And he'd be like, yes, I did that. Did you sing Incubus at all? Oh, my God. Next thing you know, we have to put Incubus Drive in the show. minor spoiler. Too bad. The show's been up for a few days, whatever. But they've also had stuff from Collective Soul, Sugar Ray, Limp Bizkit, Morphine, Tori Amos. 90s hard.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, over on Yellow Jackets, so far this season we've already heard from Smazza Pazzas, Garbage, a great scene with Papa Roach's Last Resort, where a character who's having a bit of a tough time goes to sit in the car in his garage, just pops on Papa Roach, lets off a bit of steam with Papa Roach. Some Massive Attacks and Radiohead, 10,000 Maniacs, Veruca Salt. Look, it's just 90s as heck on those two shows, and if you... as if you needed any more reasons to watch them. You should be watching them already. They're great.
Someone's come in with super recommend for Yellow Jackets. Super dark. Super loving it. Recommend. Yeah.
Agreed. Better than, way better than average mainstream tally, both of these. They've got challenging elements, but they're just very, very watchable. So get on in and get some money in that King Loser give a little. Let's
Yeah.
Let's crank it.
Talking about that, there's one text that just showed up. Celia was hot in her onesie jumpsuits back in the 90s. In parentheses, I was a groupie in Dunedin back in the day.
Well, that's a lot of information.
Also, Steve, one more question for you. Please ask Steve, how can I watch new recent South Park in New Zealand?
Gosh, it's a good question. I don't know where South Park lives these days. I haven't watched South Park for a while.
Comedy Central property. Somewhere on Sky, probs.
Yeah, maybe might be kicking around on Neon, maybe.
I can... You know what? I'll do a quick check of that right now.
There we go. Thanks for coming to the rescue, man. But as far as those other shows that we've talked about today, Beef is hanging out on Netflix, and Yellow Jackets Season 1 and the current Season 2 are on Neon. And King Loser will be on a big screen somewhere near us once we help them get across the line.
Awesome. Is that it for this evening, Steve?
It seems like a bumper load, doesn't it?
It does. Hey, let's play some King Loser, I reckon.
Oof, what do you got?
76 comeback.
Woof.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.